Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus was impressed with Jesus. He looked at the miracles that Jesus did and he drew a reasonable conclusion. He said, "You've got to be a teacher come from God, because nobody can do the things that you do unless God is with him." Now, what you need to understand about Nicodemus was, Nicodemus was a devout Jew, a pillar of the community. He was observant of the commandments. And he thought that because of his obedience to the commandments, that he was righteous before God. But being impressed with Jesus, he thought to himself, "I will also hear this man who obviously has come from God." You see, Nicodemus made a big mistake. He thought that he could get to heaven, that he could be saved by his obedience to the law, if only he could also add to his obedience the teachings of this very impressive man, Jesus Christ. This is the mistake that most people living in the world make when they hear the Christian faith. They think that Jesus is a worthwhile additive to their life. They think of themselves as good people who can only be made better by following Jesus. And, you know, on one level, it sounds pretty sensible. But here's the deal. When it comes to what God has revealed, sensible doesn't cut it. What cuts it is what God says. So Nicodemus, although he regards himself as a faithful child of God who obeys God's law, he is nevertheless a sinner under that law, but he doesn't see it. He is impressed with Jesus, and he wants to add Jesus' teachings to his already righteous life, but he doesn't see the truth about himself or about the kingdom of God. So Jesus has to preach the law to him. And that's what we're about to hear. Jesus says to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What is Jesus saying here? He says, if you are trusting in your performance of the commandments, you will never see heaven. In order to gain heaven, you must not merely add some things to your already righteous life. You have to become an entirely different person. Jesus said, "You can't use me as a supplement. You have to become an entirely new person. You have to be born all over again, or you will never see the kingdom of God." And we listen to what Jesus is saying here, and we go, "My goodness." Right? It's not about trying harder. It's not about adding a little bit more perfection to my already full life. It's that I, no matter what I may think about myself, in the eyes of God, I am a lost and condemned sinner. And everything that I do only contributes further to the problem. Because, number one, when I try to obey God's law, I fail. I only partially succeed. And then, to add insult to injury, when I trust in my performance, I commit idolatry. I make myself into a god, and I set the terms by which God must deal with me. And so, Jesus says to Nicodemus, no matter how impressive you may be, and no matter how many other people may look up to you, you will never see heaven unless you are born all over again. Unless you become an entirely different person. Well, this is totally confusing to Nicodemus as he expresses it. How can this be, right? How can this happen? So Jesus explains it to him. He says, number one, he says, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he says here in this text, when you are baptized, the Holy Spirit makes you a new creature. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's not about your works. It's about what God does to you and for you in your baptism. He says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. The water of baptism is not simple water only. It is water used in connection with God's Word, and God's Word is inspired by the Holy Ghost. And therefore, just as God is in His Word, so the Lord is in the sacrament of baptism, which is the Word of God connected to and understood in connection with the water. So that through the Word of God, baptism becomes the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Ghost. So Jesus explains to Nicodemus not only that he has to be born all over again, but he tells him exactly how it happens. It's not something that you do. It's something that God does to you, and He does it through the preaching office. He does it by means of the Word and the sacraments. Wherever the Word is and wherever the sacraments are, there is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost acting graciously upon those who use God's Word and the blessed sacraments of God. And so Jesus says to Nicodemus, it's not something that you do. You don't crawl back inside your mother and get born all over. It's not something you do. It's something that the Holy Ghost does to you through baptism. And Jesus says, he further says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. So there's two kinds of birth. There is physical birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. A cat gives birth to a cat, they're both flesh. A person gives birth to a person, they're both flesh. There's no spirituality inherent in human nature. All right? So there has to be another kind of birth, a spiritual birth. And it happens by means of the Holy Ghost. That which is born of the Spirit, in other words, that which is brought into life by the Holy Ghost, is spirit, and therefore fit for the kingdom of God. So Jesus says, don't be surprised when I talk this way to you. And then he says, listen, the wind blows where it wants to, and you can hear the sound of it, But you cannot tell where it came from or where it's going. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. He says, Nicodemus, stop trying to figure it out by means of human reason. Just understand that it's what God's Word says and believe the Word. You know, we said this morning a very long and complicated thing in the Athanasian Creed. And I could just imagine somebody hearing that creed and going, you know, this is awful complicated. This is awful hard to understand and everything like that. And then to add insult to injury, at the end it threatens that if we don't believe this wholeheartedly, we will not be saved. You know, isn't that kind of complicated? I don't understand it. Of course you don't understand. It's talking about things that transcend human reason. It's talking about heavenly things. It's talking about stuff that you can't wrap your mind around it. But it's talking about things that are revealed in God's Word, and therefore, even though we don't understand them fully, we believe them because God's Word says so. How can it be that a man can be God and man at the same time and yet not blend the two together in some kind of mixture? Don't worry about it. It's what the Bible says. Simply believe it and trust God. It's the truth. You see, there are things that reason cannot grasp, but faith can. And we can then come to understanding through faith in the Word of God. And so we confess together with joy the Athanasian Creed, even though I almost forgot to do it today. All right? And here, Nicodemus, Jesus is saying, Nick, don't try to reason this out. Don't try to wrap your noodle around this thing. Just listen to what I'm saying and realize that even though you can't understand it, you can't figure it out, it nevertheless happens, and it happens all the time. And Nicodemus answered and he said unto him, how can these things be? I don't get it. I'm an old guy. I've been thinking one way my entire life. You're basically telling me that all my life I've been wrong. And that, by the way, pride is a terrible thing to overcome. The idea that you might have been wrong your entire life about something, it's very hard to swallow. Nicodemus, I'm an old guy. This is kind of tough on me. I mean, Jesus, I thought everything was fine between me and God, and what you're saying is that it's not sufficient. I have to be something utterly different than what I am. And Jesus responds to him and says, wait a minute. You are a master in Israel? You are one of the teachers of Israel, and you don't understand these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we know, and we testify what we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. What's he talking about? Jesus is lumping himself together with John the Baptist and with all the prophets of the Old Testament. And he's saying, we have all been saying the same things all along. When you read David and Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah, and when you listen to the preaching and baptism of John the Baptist, and now you're listening to me, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. In other words, what we're saying comes from the mouth of God. And yet you don't receive our witness because it doesn't make sense to you, because you're lost in your works righteousness. He says, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now, what is Jesus saying? Well, earthly things. He talked about the need to be born again. He gave the illustration of water and the Spirit. And he talked about the wind blowing where it will. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. It's something that transcends reason, but it nevertheless is true and it happens. So he says, if I've told you these earthly things, simple things to understand, and you don't understand them, what will you do when I start telling you heavenly things? And then Jesus proceeds to start telling him heavenly things. He says, listen to this now. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Did you catch that? Right, let's notice this. No one has ever by their works gone up to heaven. All right? No one has ascended up to heaven in themselves except for the Son of Man who came down from heaven. Right? Now wait a minute. You say, but in the Old Testament, Enoch was translated up to heaven directly without dying. In Genesis chapter 5. And you see, but wait a minute. In the book of Kings, Elijah the prophet was taken directly up into heaven by means of the chariots of fire that God sent to go and collect him and take him up to heaven. So how can Jesus say, no one has ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven? Because Enoch and Elijah, they had faith in Christ. The Old Testament saints, they believed in the coming of Christ. Their faith was rooted and grounded in God's promise to send the Messiah. And therefore, when Enoch and Elijah were taken up to heaven, they were in fact riding on Jesus' coattails. Because it is only through Jesus Christ, the God who came down from heaven and then later ascended to heaven, that is the only way that any of us will ever see heaven. And so he says, no one has ascended up to heaven by their own means, only he who came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as a bonus, Jesus throws in there a little comment. He says that even as I stand before you in human flesh, I am Jesus of Nazareth, right? Even as I stand before you, I am still in heaven because my divine nature is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. So that in his divinity, Jesus is present in heaven with the Father and the Holy Ghost. And as to his humanity, he is present here on the earth. And he manifests his divinity in a hidden way here on the earth. But here Jesus is telling, he says, all right, you want to hear heavenly things? I'll tell you some heavenly things. I'm standing right here before you, but I'm also in heaven with the Father and the Holy Ghost. Try to wrap your mind around that one. And then he says, getting more practical, he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. All right, now, what's he saying here? Well, we are all, hopefully, familiar with the story from the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, where the children of Israel rebelled and murmured against the Lord God and His Word. And they murmured and complained. And God sent fiery serpents into their midst. And many people were bitten by the serpents, and they died under the judgment of God by being bitten by these poisonous snakes. So the people go into a panic. They repent of their sins and their wickedness, and they pray and they ask God to have mercy on them. And Moses goes before God and he brings the children of Israel's repentance before God, and he asks for God to be merciful to the children of Israel. And God says, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I want you to make a bronze serpent. I want you to make a snake out of brass. And I want you to hang this snake on a pole. And it shall be, whoever is bitten by a snake, when he looks at the brass serpent on the pole, he will be healed and live. So Moses did according to God's commandment. He fashioned a snake of brass, and he attached it to a pole, and he raised the pole up in the air, and it came to pass that if someone was bitten by a poisonous snake, if they looked at the brass serpent, they lived and were healed. Now what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is, you know, that story was really all about me. Right? That story was really all about me. And just as that serpent on the pole was the salvation from snake bite of all those sinning Israelites, so it is that I, the Son of Man, will be lifted up. He's talking about his crucifixion. He's talking about, now listen, the people of Israel in the Old Testament, when they heard that the solution to their snake bite problem was another snake, a bronze snake on a pole, it must have seemed absurd to them. What? You mean, if I get bit by a real snake, and I'm dying from snake bite, and I look at a fake snake hanging up on a pole, just by looking at that snake, I will be healed? Didn't seem to make sense to human reason. But it was God's word, and therefore it is true. So Jesus says, you know, when I am lifted up from the earth, when I am crucified, when I am hung upon the cross, it will appear as if the last thing that's going on is any work of God. It will appear as if my whole life has been misspent. It will appear as though God has abandoned me. It will appear as if I am anything but a savior. But when I am lifted up from the earth, just like that serpent in the Old Testament, whoever believes in me will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so Jesus tells Nicodemus the heavenly gospel. He says, I am the Son of God who came down from heaven in order to be lifted up on a cross for the redemption of the world, and whoever believes in me will not perish in hell, but will have eternal life. So Nicodemus now, he's got a lot to chew on. We don't hear from Nicodemus again until at the end of the Gospels, where he is with his friend Joseph of Arimathea, and they are both putting their life and reputations at stake by publicly showing themselves to be supporters of Jesus, the crucified one. And they begged his body from Pilate, and they, at their own expense, provided for his burial, a burial of honor. And so at the end of the Gospels, Nicodemus once again gets mentioned, and he gets mentioned as one who has come to understand. He has been born again. He comes to understand it's not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to God's mercy, he hath saved us by the washing of regeneration, baptism, and renewal of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is present wherever the word is, wherever baptism is, and he is bringing about the new birth. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.